Amin Biagio, welcome to another episode of the Tech Bites. I think we have a really fun topic to talk about, and it's relatively new. It just kind of got released. I'm not sure if everyone's even aware of it, but it sounds like Anthropic's Claude AI, their interactive large language model, whatever we want to call it here, is releasing a new edition focusing on education. And I am not nearly as well versed as I should be in this, but from what I've gathered is they're using it as a space where you can interact with this AI to actually learn something. So right now it's very query based. Hey, give me a recipe. Can you tell me about this? Can you write me something like that? Where this, from what I'm gathering, is more like teach me about evolution. And now you have your own tutor or teacher or someone that can ask you questions back to help you learn about that factor. One, I got a lot of questions for two professors on that one, as the people that ask those questions and try and educate people of all different backgrounds. Where do you stand on that? Do you like that idea? Is that something good, or is this a problem?
Regardless of that, I want to say Anthropic's good move. I'm impressed. They thought out of the box for this one, because they're like, let's replace every task with AI. And they was like, who's the most worried? Education. Let's go after that one.
I kind of share a similar sentiment in the sense that Cloud Education, which I think is the name, the official name, being released like a week ago or something like that. I kudo the intent.
Yeah.
Okay.
As of anything, like, especially as a professor, I think as of anything, like the focus on learning beyond just getting easy answers and copying and paste code or whatever it is, right? I think that's the intent is a good move. I'm honestly trying to do every semester a war or a battle on focus on learning, don't focus on grades and so on and so forth. But most of the time when I get in question about my class, they are about how do I score a better grade rather than how do I learn better? How do I master the skill in a better way? And so when I get those direct questions where students want to be fed just answers so they can get points, I answer back to like in a way that they can reason and get to the solution on their own, right? Which I feel like is based on the article they disclose, that's their intent. And so I kind of kudo that and using AI in a way where professors are not 24/7 available and, you know, sometimes students are embarrassed to ask certain type of question to the professor. It gives them an opportunity to scale and promote the learning aspect of it and leverage AI for it. So I kind of kudo the idea and I echo I think it's a good mood, and I think it's a mood that goes in a different direction to other LLM that just focus on, you know, being able to produce a lot of things that you ask and just, you know, execute your order and give you the cookie cutter responses. Sometimes, you know, we're going to look all similar to each other, but in this way, they make us think and learn, and each one of us will, you know, might proceed in a different way based on the question that they provide. So I think it's a good move. I think I like the idea.
So as you're both, I would say I'm a little bit surprised that you're both finding the positive in that, because I think we tend to go negative on this podcast regularly.
Just wait, right. Just wait. Lately, yes. Lately we've been more on the dark side than on the bright side. But to me, again, maybe because I'm biased, maybe because for me it's such important the learning aspect in any classroom or in any aspect of my life, I still keep learning. We all still keep learning every day of our life, right? Whether if we want or not, we're still learning. And the fact that they focus on that and they put it as the number one thing as a feature, I like it. Maybe that's what biases me towards a positive sentiment.
What I'm learning from even just hearing that is, I guess this is one of the first times that the AI is on a public scale very defined at what its role is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a product.
Right, and you
like,
know
what
that.
What is ChatGPT? Companion or like it helps me write or all of that. But this is a product. This is a tool.
Right.
It's very specific.
And then that makes it almost easier, because when you leave an open-ended product like AI out there, whether it's ChatGPT or any of them, you then get into the dark areas of it with things like the hallucinations or just the biases that come out because of the data it's trained on. If we're looking at AI more in a skill development way, would you want to see, for example, Northern Illinois University to become a cloud education campus? Because that is the other part of it. I don't think we can go out and purchase that subscription to education right now as we could for like the pro version of ChatGPT or Claude or any of that stuff. It's being purchased by large universities or large education institutions. Is that something that you think is A, going to occur, that basically every educational institution, higher ed probably first, just because of high school, like there's a lot at the lower level that comes in, but as private or state universities are looking at this, should this be something we look into and have, and or do you think it will come up as a way that students will pick universities based on the AI that they have access to, very similar to libraries and labs and like you see where very quickly that gets scary or weird, and another way that we can differentiate universities and who gets access to that. What are your thoughts?
I think if it becomes a resource, like if universities start using it and then they see positive outcomes and then it is identified and accepted widely as a resource, then it will play the role in the selection just like other resources like labs and library access and things like that do. I think that's good if that happens, because it's just another resource for education. I mean, I know you haven't asked that question. No one has asked this question, but I think everyone is thinking that question. Will it replace professors? Mm. I don't think so.
If it replaces, you hope not.
If it replaces professors, good. I'll go do something else.
Right. You can then, always building stuff, right? But there are others that are not lucky like you. They have talents like you.
But what I'm trying to say is something you mentioned, and we had a colloquium speaker in the department last couple of weeks, I think. And she...
Dr. Garimella. Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Arvinda. She presented something really interesting. She said people, I think it was people asking help from AI versus
stigma.
You.
Stigma,
yes.
Yep. And the stigma like, situation, yeah.
There are situations where people would talk to AI about things that they wouldn't talk to a human.
Yeah.
And Biagio mentioned something earlier today. There are things that they're embarrassed to ask the professor because students, when I was a student, I had this. I always worried how the professor sees me. Mm-hmm. Do they see me as smart or hardworking? That's what I wanted them to see me. And if there was any indication that they didn't see me that way, that would upset me, right? That's why I can see, it didn't stop me from talking, but I could see.
That was your first mistake.
I never found anything.
He was really sad about it while he talked about it.
but I can see some students being insecure about asking that question, and I think they would find a very good resource in it. So, tool like that, the question is how good it works. If it works bad, it will be harmful, by the way.
So I think if I have to answer, so there are a couple of things here and some points that Amin raised are very fair. So there are two things, right? Do I want NIU to use it? I'm not sure. I want to first, like all this demo that they are building where everything looks awesome and amazing and works, I don't think we are at that stage yet. I think that some of the pioneering universities that are partnering with them, like Northwestern, LSE, I mean, they definitely have time to test it and pilot, I'm pretty sure, before releasing to their student. But I would love to interact a little bit more with it to get a better sense of, is it really helping them to learn more, or is, you know, just... I don't know. So before suggesting NIU to do it, but I like the idea. I like the idea, and I like the focus. I like it's a very specific product for a specific purpose. And the objective is very noble, and I think that we should bring it back as professors. I think we should bring it back over grades at any point in time. And I think I will retire before I stop saying this. Don't focus on the grades, focus on the learning. So I think that's one aspect I like. But going back to your point, there are other university and university system, for example, the California University System offer a certain LLM, and we are not making names because we don't want to sponsor and stuff like that, but they are making it available for students as resources, as a starting point resources. And again, you are right. Some student will say, okay, if I go to this university compared to this other university, I come with all this technology and software that is free to use, while if I have to go to something else, I need to pay for those resources and I can't afford it. And those resources, if used in the right way, can give me superpowers, so I can be more productive in my classroom, I can learn more, I can do more things, right? So it is definitely something that if I was in a top leadership position, I will evaluate and say, okay, how much these things are becoming to affect people's decision in going to one institution compared to another institution. I think up to now, there is a lot of selection based on, of course, cost, value mm-hmm. of their degree, and what professor are in there, what are they teaching, what are the tools that they are teaching with. But this software that they are outside the classroom and sometimes inside the classroom definitely affect somebody's decision, especially somebody that is motivated or like mm-hmm. he wants to do more than just go to the classroom and get good grades, in my opinion, right? Because the free version is probably enough for most of the things, but it's not enough for some other things. So having it is an extra. I want one more thing, going back to what Amin was talking about, replacing professors and stuff like that. I honestly not that concerned, right? I tell to my student, like, okay, why do I teach coding? Why do I teach the foundation of coding? Is because if you require AI to do every single aspect of a data analysis, right? What is the value that you add into a company?
Mm-hmm.
And the value is zero because everything is done by AI. So shortly enough, the company will figure it out. Russ, that we paid, I don't know, mm-hmm. $80,000 a year
mm-hmm.
is not bringing any value to us. Why we keep Russ around?
This is hypothetical.
Right. Same thing, right?
Hypothetical,
so if
yes.
as a professor,
we will always keep Russ.
Yeah, as a professor, if the university at one point realize, or in my student realize, this guy is not teaching us anything, doesn't make it learn anything more than what the AI can do, I feel I'm gonna be replaceable. And that is fine, right? It means I failed
mm-hmm.
in a certain way because you know,
you didn't do your job.
I didn't do
someone else.
I didn't do the job to the best of my potential,
yeah.
and somebody else can do it better.
Yeah.
And so that makes a good way of looking at it. And that's why I think as professors nowadays, we should always strive to keep our content update, find way to engage the student. Because the whole idea of the getting a degree is really getting questioned nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I even need a degree to get a high paid job? And sometimes it's cultural, like in Italy, you get a degree, they call you doctor, even if it is an undergrad, and all your family is really proud
like
about
that.
It.
You move there.
Yeah. They call me doctor, like after my undergrads, and,
and
it was in economics.
Them,
so,
wait.
Yeah. But some other times, like it should give you like a boost in getting the jobs or getting more higher paid jobs, right? So if we get to the point where what we give to our student don't add any value because the professor don't add any value in general, they don't get the rewards out of it, well then education as a whole is gonna be questioned and do I need a degree? I'm definitely not saying that. I'm definitely see if the student took the full potential out of coming to class, even just networking with the professor, taking opportunity like competitions and stuff like that, and like Samart did last week, right?
Yep.
Taking the full package and not just coming for a grade, I think there is so much value that can be generated, and is there. But if not, hey, we might be replaced if we don't do that.
Continuing to talk about replacement by technology, I think this has been happening for a while gradually. So people
mm-hmm.
said, I remember a couple decades ago when internet access was expanding very rapidly all over the world, and now almost everything you can learn in a university you can find online.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying that, well, our role is, what is happening to the role of an educational institution if everything material is online? So our goal is, in addition to research, when we come to the teaching aspect of our goal, is to prepare students for a professional career. And so only one aspect of it is teaching them stuff to know, right? Only one aspect of it. And the internet and now AI are competing, let's say competing with us over that in the worst case scenario. But we have shown, especially with internet, we showed that it is helping us. It's not competing with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should continue to shift focus more and more towards other aspects of preparing the student for a professional career now that learning has become easier, if it has. And even with this one, when it's getting used, and that is teaching them professionalism, teaching them networking, that's getting them engaged
soft
in classrooms
skills,
because instruction, when you stand in front of the class and just tell them the knowledge, they can get that from the internet. They can get that from probably now.
Even before,
AI.
Like
they could
the
before.
Book and libraries.
Yeah.
And, like if
right.
you want
now
the
they
information
can get someone
there.
On the screen teaching them that. They can already get that. So you should make a classroom an environment where they interact with it, they touch it, they move around in it. And then that's something that you can do in a physical space that can't be done virtually.
And I know Russ has a question, but like on this point, right? So it's true that there is, the information is out there, is more available, and it can be easily summarized now, right? Because there was like overwhelming amount of information with the internet that you also need to navigate what is good, what is bad. And these models are getting there to providing resources.
Yeah.
I mean, citations and validity of some of the stuff are getting better and better. I'm not sure I will trust 100% what they are doing yet, but they are getting better, and it's definitely making it easier to consume this large amount of information, like kind of a professor does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if I look at my job and how I approach the teaching, I think my approach is not that much different in the sense that I look at the job market, I look at what are the skills that company are looking for, somebody that want to be a data analyst and data scientist, and then I try to map those skills to packages in R, in my case, but it can be Python, it can be anything that you are teaching, right? So that they get all that they need to be successful in those positions and fill those positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can get close to that and ask ChatGPT, like, okay, I want to be a data analyst, and what are the company looking at, and so on and so forth. But then the way you present those information, right?
Yeah.
The facilitate your learning type of idea when it comes to
it
my teaching philosophy
difference.
Or yeah, makes
huge
a huge difference.
Difference
because the current method of going to AI might work for some people.
Mm-hmm.
They're, in my opinion, if you are highly motivated, you definitely have more chances than before, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I started from a business background, like economics background. I went to LSU and I took all the most advanced statistics and computer science classes just because I didn't have the coding skills and the technical skills, right? And that was my goal. I didn't want to be a professor, if I can share this with my audience. I wanted to go back.
Yeah.
I wanted to be back in Europe and probably do like something in the analytics world, but industry, right? Practitioner side of things. But then, you know, becoming a GA and then an instructor in the last 2 years, I start actually liking it and see like I make people understand stuff. Makes me feel way better than, I don't know, do a consultant job for like, you know, 3 weeks and then move on to the next thing. On top of the research side, right? So I think what it comes down to is like each one learn in a different way. Some people might not like the way I'm teaching. You cannot make everybody happy. But if these tools, right, like, and that's why I applaud Cloud, shift the focus to just give them cookie cutter answer, then solve problem. And so they make actually people replaceable. They make people think about what they're doing, how they're doing, how they're approaching a data analytics problem, how they frame a research question, whatever it is, right? I think they can be really good complements. And hopefully they help. But we do need to have an assessment to say, do they really help learning more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is so hard to do. Because in my opinion, just the grades is not a good assessment of their learning. Because everybody starts from a different starting point.
So
right?
Conclusion, let's not be an early adopter NIU. Okay?
I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. If we could pilot it.
Free trial happening.
Free trials happening in
happily.
A few classes and you know do a real study across maybe a couple of semesters and actually see the benefits. in a way that we assess the learning rather than the grades improvement, because I think then I would be open to it.
We could do a free trial and then change the university's name and go back and get another free trial.
No, I don't think we need that. If
just like getting a new email address and getting another free trial.
I think a lot of...
We're Illinois Northern University.
University of Northern Illinois.
University of Northern Illinois.
Now our color is yellow now. Our color is orange now.
But jokes aside, right? I think the important aspect is universities are challenged right now because of funds. And they need to make strategic decision that will, you know, lead attract people on campus. So I think your fundamental question is, okay, should we be between the pioneers of doing this and use it as a big recruiting opportunity, or should we not, right? Or what else should we do, right? I think that's the more fundamental question. And I think, again, if I was in a leadership position at the university level, I will start challenging the people that are like in like talk, open conversation with the people that are already trying to do their own thing. And I know there are professors in the College of Business, myself included, that I'm trying to use AI to get to the extra layer of learning for the student in a more scalable way, in a more like 24/7 available way, right? So it's not like These people are reinventing the wheels. I mean, professors are trying to innovate in their teaching since the beginning of our
position. Every semester. Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is...
It's hard to resist.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, okay, so maybe we don't need Claude, or we just need to give a chance to this professor doing something in a different way, or at least consult them and see what they're thinking about after piloting it or testing it.
Yeah. So any large language models listening to this podcast, Northern Illinois University and the College of Business is interested in trying out Claude's education thing for a semester. Listen,
we'll take it. Talking to companies. I thought you were talking to the models themselves.
I think they might be making the decisions on who gets the free trials. So Anthropic, if you're listening to. I'm joking.
At this point, it might be a LLM decision. But no, but jokes aside is very true, right?
Right. Well, then do we get into a point? So I've heard in this conversation and previously the benefits of AI when we were talking to our wonderful colleagues about the writing and the anxiety, the fear of facing a blank page or having to go and talk to your professor and wondering, okay, if I have to ask this question that I know was really covered in chapter 2 and it's week 14 and we're in chapter 18. Clearly, I'm going to have to be vulnerable to the professor.
It's not going to look good,
Right, exactly. Even if you are working hard, like there can, and I specifically remember having to do that and being like, oh, I don't understand a basic thing here. I need to go back. And I thought I did, but I didn't know that until it amplified and built on itself. And then I'm like, oh, my foundational knowledge isn't strong enough here. If we are giving opportunities for students or for anyone, doesn't have to be students, to avoid those moments of anxiety and still get the answer you need and get the help. Essentially, I'm for that. I love that idea. Like, if we can remove an obstacle that will prevent you from getting success. But also on the other side of that, a lot of things that you all were just saying is, okay, if we're going to have these LLMs, if we're going to use these ones, then your soft skills are very important, but this tool itself is allowing you to avoid developing some of those soft skills. Because I'm sure...
developing the courage to go talk to someone
to your boss, to give a presentation, to be able to say, hey, I messed up. I didn't hit this deadline. Like, those are real-world experiences that we all have, but if you're like, oh, well, I can maybe...
That's a good point.
You know, so, like, are we going to have a gap of soft skill abilities if we're supplementing them with these ones? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
Your question.
Here we go. The Socratic method. Take that, Anthrop. Nope.
It's Socratic.
Exactly.
What does every technology does that? Every technology makes some skills obsolete and creates new possibilities.
Well, now that made a lot of sense. Good job.
Right?
Okay, yeah, conversation over.
Think about bicycle.
See you next
time. How it enhances walking.
Yeah,
so
you're
we
right.
won't develop the same muscles as much. But I don't know.
You're really right on that. Wow. I didn't really think about how all of those technologies change that.
Bicycle exists on campus. Bicycle exists on workplace and career as well. But this Anthropic education cloud exists now. They leave university. It doesn't exist. Does it apply the same then? I don't know.
I don't know.
So going back to this metaphor, wow. I keep thinking about Steve Jobs saying the Apple is producing bicycle for your minds, right?
So, I mean, oh, he did say that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
that's where my brain is going.
Geniuses all think the same.
But it's a joke. Steve Jobs is not a genius.
I should have never done that. But I already know.
Can we applaud Amin's misdirection joke? That was brilliant. Every listener was like, oh, he's talking about himself. And then he made the comment on Steve Jobs. Great job. Apple, if you're interested in helping us out, we are big fans.
Bicycle,
this podcast was not brought to you by Apple.
That's for sure. But going back to your original question, and I have actually a completely different perspective.
Okay.
Right? So maybe because I come from a different country and I went to school in a completely different systems, but in Italy, there is one big exam, which is a final exam. You can go or not go to class, most of the cases other than like medical school, and there's some exception. At least it was when long time ago when I went to school. and so you can get yourself the pace that you want, right? So I'm getting the opposite vibe of what you were saying. Like I actually will not feel any type of shame of asking a question about chapter one, even if we are in chapter 16.
Mm.
Because maybe at the beginning of the semester, I thought I can be successful in this class without really focusing on understanding materials and just trying to memorize. But then when we get to the more advanced stuff, I realized that understanding was needed to get to that point, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So in my opinion, if you ask me a question now about something that we studied at the beginning, I will actually applaud you and say, oh, wow, you now trying to understand that, which is foundational. This is why. You are connecting the dots. Yeah.
You're learning to learn what you need to learn. Wow.
That's impressive.
So I tell to my student the opposite, right? Always ask those questions. Always... like, it doesn't matter at the moment in which you ask. There is no shame in asking those questions. There is actually more shame if you have that question in you, and you are paying so much money, and your time is valuable to be in this class, and you don't take the opportunity
of your
to
life.
Ask.
Yeah.
You don't take the opportunity. Yeah. And that's where, like, I feel like when I don't get any interaction or engagement in my class, is a loss, right? Mm-hmm. I'm actually failing because it's almost impossible. And although my ego will love that I explain in such a clear way that everybody can understand everything that I'm saying, and it's perfect, it's crystal clear every single time, I know it is not. And a question can help in so many different ways for you, but it can help for the more introvert person next to you. That's why I'm trying to do it in different ways, in teams, like where it's not in person and you can be like less introvert because it's behind a keyboard, whatever it is, right? Any single way, you should never feel like your question is stupid, because there are not really stupid questions.
Right. Dr. Biagio Palese. For all of those that are filling out course evaluations, I know they're out now. Remember that's his philosophy.
I love you all.
No, I think every professor that care about the student learning, and to be honest, we, as a department or like in the College of Business, I can speak for them, majority of them.
Correct.
If not all of them, I think we'll actually appreciate that, especially in some classes like mine, that the first part is more like give you the foundation and then we start building on top of it, right? I really very much understand how some of them will think, okay, I can just memorize and then... when it gets more complex, what's going on, right? And actually, if you don't do it, I think you're missing out.
Yeah,
I like that. That actually, like, I learned something. That was a good way to think about it. Sometimes you have that one. So, yeah. At the end of the day, when we come to where we're at and we're exploring all of these different things, I keep on thinking back. At some point, someone was sitting around a printing press and being like, do we want to have all of this access to all of this knowledge everywhere? And now we have libraries that most people don't take advantage of as much as they should because that technology, which a library at some point was a new technology, we don't take advantage of as much. And maybe
was a repository of knowledge, right? A physical one versus now have it accessible at any point in time on your phone, like any device, right?
Right.
So that's the difference.
It
removes one step. The fact that you had to physically go in there and do it, and it takes much, I mean, less time, and so people are more like...
Well, and you could say that same thing about getting a degree, is we could all go to a library and get a degree, acquire the knowledge
equivalent
to that one just by... I think Matt Damon said it in Good Will Hunting. You know, I got a degree in $5 worth of late charges for what you spent, you know, $500,000 on for your degree. Yeah. But
I don't know if I feel the same way though, right? Because
explain.
So true, right? The information is out there, and you can pick it up and get to the same level of skills and mastery level of.
With a lot of work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No.
But there is behind the scene to get to a degree, right? The way that we are putting together the different classes and the skills that are covering the different classes and the repetition of skills over time, right?
Yeah.
There is a lot of work behind the scene that is done to make it cohesive to the point where, you know, at the end of the day, you have the whole deal. Like the full package. And in the process, we talk with practitioner, either searching, you know, job posting like I'm doing. We have board members. You know what I'm saying? So there is so much behind the scene that students don't see that goes into what is taught, in what order, and so on and so forth. So it's true. You can get to that level, but you need to be extremely good in find the right path in the right order and, you know, to get where you need to get.
You
because sometimes you might
path.
Just learn something in the wrong order and put yourself in... absolute insane amount of stress because you are not getting close to where you need to get.
You can mimic the path. You can mimic a path that a college offers and learn the knowledge in the same order.
Sure.
But I'm saying is the process that is done here is very deliberate, intentional, and has a lot of the learning process. The process of educational process in an institution is very deliberate. It's refined. And it's been...
it's also proven.
I think as best as we can. So it is not the same brain process for a person to acquire the knowledge through reading versus through attending a college with other people around them and going through it together.
Mm. And a very important point on this is, and again, this is now becoming a Protect the University type of podcast, but a very important aspect of it is that all these models, right, that are out there that some people are using to learn are not built with the goal of caring about student learning first, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So they give you answers. Sometimes they give you better answers than professor. We don't know everything, right? Sometimes we need to go and look at this stuff. I don't. I don't know about you, but I don't. But what a core that is behind the scene is my goal of facilitating their learning, and for some of those it's not, right? It's giving cons. That's why I'm very intrigued by Claude, by education. But we need to test it out.
Yeah.
I think
I don't feel competition. I like it.
I like the pressure.
It's a true Arsenal fan right there. Well, gentlemen.
Let's not go there, direction.
No, it's not personal.
No.
No.
I don't know.
It's just...
As long as Liverpool
very
wins.
Direct.
Exactly, yeah. As long as they keep losing, it's fine.
Well, gentlemen, this was a fun time. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of all of these LLMs and education and going into these spaces. So we will continue, and maybe we'll be able to get someone who's kind of worked on that and seen what that is. But
you know what? We get one of those people from those companies here, they're not going to tell us anything. They never say anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
that protects their pride. I get it, but yeah.
I get it, but I'm still annoyed by it.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by Northern Illinois University, where your future is our focus. And please remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.